This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
What is up, my sinners? My name is Shane. Welcome to another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome, a podcast where I, your host, talk to other lead singers about what it's like to be the front man or front woman of a band. And today we have a great episode. My buddy Mike he explains how to say his name. There's a whole tutorial in this episode about how to say his name. Mike from Devil Wears Prada, he joins me today. Great episode, great guy. And I gotta say, man, it's Monday when you're listening to this, and tomorrow is a big day for you Americans. It's a big one. Yes, make sure you're voting. We talk a lot in this episode about Trump, about our disdain for Donald Trump. So please go out, don't be lazy, get to the voting booths. It does matter. Even to me, I'm not even American. Believe me, it affects the whole world. So please, if you're American, do your part. Get out there and vote. Right now, I'm chilling home. I'm back in Toronto. We just finished the first leg of the Rise Up Tour with Devil Wears Prada, Memphis Mayfire, Silverstein, and Lake Mazda Flames. We had a blast. It was so much fun. If you missed the U.S. dates, well, that's too bad. But hey, we're coming to Europe really soon. So if you're in Germany, the U.K., Netherlands, or Belgium, or France, we're even coming to France. Please come hang out. You can get your tickets now. They are available, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Also, in December, I am embarking on my first ever solo tour under the moniker River Oaks. That's my solo project. Tickets for that are also available now. I'm going to be in New York, Philadelphia, Detroit, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh. So please, if you're interested in coming out, seeing me play solo, seeing me play some River Oak songs, some Silverstein songs, some cover songs, whatever, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be hanging out, so please get your tickets right now. You can get them at riveroaksmusic.com. And as always, I encourage you to get in touch. If you've got suggestions for future guests, suggestions for me, if you just want to say hi, we are on all the different social medias. At Lead Singer Syn, S-Y-N on Twitter, at Lead Singer Syndrome on Instagram. There is a Facebook page. Make sure you go like that. And of course, old-fashioned email, it's leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show, a great way you can do that is if you buy anything online, if you use Amazon at all, use our affiliate link. All it does, it'll take you right to the Amazon homepage. You log in as normal. Whatever you buy, we get between 4 and 6%, and it costs you absolutely nothing. So if you buy something online, please don't forget, just go to leadsingersyndrome.com/Amazon. Again, leadsingersyndrome.com/Amazon. It takes you right there. Boom. 4 to 6%, and that really does help keep the lights on. Also, it's pretty cool. This is episode 52, so, you know, 52 weeks in a year. We've been doing this thing almost a year now. I think we're coming up on it in either next week or the week after will be officially 1 year. And I just want to say thank you, everybody, so much for the support, all the emails you've sent me, all the love you've given me. You know, starting this podcast was pretty daunting. You know, I never really interviewed a band before. I didn't know what I was doing. And it's really, really cool to see how much this thing has grown in a year. And we have some amazing guests coming up. So almost a year under our belts. And I think I'm going to be doing this for a few years. So I'm really, really enjoying it. And please, if you're really enjoying it too, please tell a friend. The word of mouth that keeps this thing growing is really, really important, you know? So please, tell a brother, tell a sister, tell a friend, post on your social media about how great my podcast is. Whatever you got to do to help spread the word, I really, really do appreciate it. Anyway, without further ado, let's get into it. Here's my chat with my good friend Mike from The Devil Wears Prada.
Our new management was out yesterday first time I've like met them and everything.
Crazy.
Well, I've known Biggie forever when he was with Every Time I Die, but
Biggie's your new manager.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Biggie and Dog and Jackie and it was like we had this once. We played. Have you played the Paramount in Long Island, Huntington Beach or something?
No.
Gorgeous, stunning room. It's got like a hidden speakeasy and whatnot. And
oh, sick.
It was the first time since we signed with Roadrunner, and they came out to a show that was just like a fucking train wreck. So I think it's just that's our vibe. As soon as we need to like impress like a new member of our team, nope, bad.
That's funny. Let's start there. That is a funny thing when you bring up. When you have, it always seems like when you have somebody you're trying to impress, like it's a label. a label, a management. You know, new people working with your team, agent. Our agent was there last night, too. Or, like, the funniest for me is always, like, when it's, like, a new girlfriend's, like, parents.
Oh.
Have you ever had a girlfriend's parents come and see what you do?
No. They've heard it before, but I don't think they've ever been to a show. That's nerve-wracking.
Oh, man, yeah. Like, I had a girl I dated. We had a dating for, like, almost 5 years, but, I've known her parents, and they know me as, like, this sweet, soft-spoken guy from Canada, you know, very chill. Like, I don't even have any tattoos, you know. And then they came to St. Andrew's Hall to watch me perform, and I don't think they were ever looked at me the same after that.
It ruined everything.
Well, you know, picture me, you know, screaming into a microphone, and you're like horrified.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. It is, like, through my experiences dating, when, like, oh, he plays in a band. Like, oh, like a full-time musician. Like, I guess you can call it that. Like, I always feel so guilty when I write musician on, like, like the card coming back into the country. Like, occupation, like, musician. I'm like, well, I yell and I flub around on guitar. Maybe I should just write that.
Well, there's that side of it, and then there's the side of it when people look at it, and you know the border guy's looking at it, rolling his eyes, being like, yeah, so what do you really do for money?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, does that mean, you know, you do temp jobs loading trucks, or does that mean you sell drugs? What does that mean?
That probably is the that notion for border, like, yeah. Well, I think they look at everyone being like, oh, you sell drugs. At least they look at us as like...
Yeah.
When we before you guys hopped on the tour, when we played that Toronto show...
Right.
The guy came on, he was standing in front of the bus vaping. Like, biggest tool, this guy.
The agent was vaping? The Canadian agent.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And he comes on, he goes, all right, cut the shit. What's going on in here? And Ben is like, no drugs. And he's like, it was, Ben's like, well, I just smoked. He's like, smoked what? And Ben's like, a cigarette. Like it's like, oh, you know, crack. Like, you're going to tell this to a border agent, dude. I'm just reminded of that. Yeah.
That's super funny. I remember one time we were crossing in a bus. I find the border people are all really sweet to us. When you're at a bus, they think you're like a big deal, and sometimes they're like, oh, yeah, you know, can I get an autograph for my kid? You know, they don't even know who we are, but they want stuff like that. But when we were in a van, it was definitely more difficult. I remember one time we were coming back into Canada, and it was like really late at night, so really tired. I was driving, and I pull over and, you know, hand them the passports, and the guy goes, how much marijuana is in the vehicle? And we're like, and before I could answer, he points at Bill, who's straight edge at this point.
Yeah.
Points at Bill and goes, when was the last time you smoked? And Bill goes, I've never smoked weed. And it seemed like the biggest lie, even though he never had.
Yeah.
It was like, I was just sitting there like, oh, God, we're going to be here a while.
But my gosh. I don't get that vibe from Bill. Like, looking at your guys, like, bit like, he's the culprit. He's the villain. The right villain.
But at the same time, like, you know, he's like 6'4", I don't know how much he weighs, and he's like got its crazy mustache and tattoos, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't know how judgmental they are at the border, but probably pretty judgmental.
Yeah, for sure. Oh gosh.
Well, dude, it's so good to have you finally. Been trying to set this up for a while. You know, I didn't call you and be like, all right, Mike, let's do it over the phone, because I knew I was going to see you on this tour. It's been planned for so long, and all these people would write in, all the fans of the show would write in and be like, when are you going to interview Mike? I'm like, it's coming!
So I'm very glad you could be here.
Dude, so pumped.
And it's a beautiful day. We're in Pomona, California.
Indeed.
Which, I mean, in terms of the touring life, like Southern California, it's kind of the dream.
I felt that way early on for sure, but I'm just like I love cold winter snow misery. So like being here and also like allergies and shit with my voice.
Oh, yeah?
Like I don't know if, well, you're always like perfectly consistent as long as we've known each other.
Well, you say that, but I don't know about that. But
I mean, just like San Antonio, three, four days ago, yeah, my voice was shot.
Yeah.
I can't do like climate changes and whatnot. But
no, I know. It's the worst.
So you bring up beautiful Pomona, and I just bitch for my little tangent.
I guess that's just me growing up in a cold-ass place.
Yeah.
To where I'm like, well, all my friends are complaining about how it's getting colder at home, and here I am, and it's like, you know, 85 degrees and sunny, and I'm like, yeah, living the dream. So that's just my take. But no, we're sitting on the bus. We're having a beer. Cheers.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers. And I want to ask you about the beer thing. Because, you know, I've known you a long time. I've known you guys since you were basically like little kids.
Yep.
You know, and my first memory of your band was Dave Shapiro, who's our booking agent, not begging, telling us to put you guys on a show at the House of Blues in Cleveland. I'm not sure what year that was. Maybe 07? 06?
06.
06. And, you know, being like, Devil Wears Prada, okay, whatever. And
cool name.
Yeah, well, that's, I won't lie. I was like, that's terrible name.
Yep.
And ever since that, we've been friends and we've watched you guys grow into this mature, serious band. I'm trying to think of other words, but like a real band with real fans and your own persona and your own moral value and your own everything that goes along with doing this for, you know, over 10 years now. And that's a cool thing to see. And I want to start right off out of the gate just talking about the whole Christian band thing, how you start as kids saying you're a Christian band, you develop a certain fan base, and then as you grow older, those kinds of things change. And I just want to ask you how that's been for you guys, you know, over a decade.
Yeah, I mean, like, my faith still plays a very important role in my life, but it's most certainly different, you know? I mean, like, mm-hmm. when you guys had us out, like, when I joined the band, I was 16, soon turned 17. And when people ask about these kinds of things, I'm like, I get these shitty email interviews like, what's changed? Like, what do you mean what's changed? Like, what changes in a person from when you're 16 to I'll be 28 here soon? Like,
yep,
everything changes, you know. I was
everything,
a
yeah,
angsty kid from Ohio. I have these, lyrically things are much different. I try not to be as drastic and melodramatic so much with lyrics and all that, but I think that's just a total parallel to faith playing a role in my life, you know, like so many components of your life will change as you get older, and that's faith as well. I feel more driven. I feel that the more immediate topic to bring up isn't so much of Christianity anymore. I feel like and people get mad at me saying I'm becoming too political, I see online or something like that. But,
well, you're progressive and Christian.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And that sometimes those words are not congruent.
For sure. And which is bizarre to me. Looking at
absolutely.
Like, right. Like, sure. Like I'm just like, I hate to be so cliche as being like the, you know, I'm a believer, not a Christian, or I'm, you know, it's about God rather than religion. But like those cliches are true. Like those,
yeah,
stereotypes,
yep,
are true because they're, I feel them proven correct, at least in my own life. So, yeah, I don't know if this answers the question at all, but it just, it changes, it evolves. And, I mean, when I speak with God or when I pray, it's different than when it was even, you know, 5 years ago. I don't feel it's worth apologizing for. I feel like it's still a good stance to have as a band, and I think that it really brings us together. Even guys like John, our keyboard player, is an atheist. Like, have we ever cared? Like, not even in, like, the slightest, you know? Like, it just doesn't... It always feels like we're putting in this role of, like, kind of like this black or white, live or die thing.
Yeah.
And it just feels silly anymore. I mean, like, when people it was the common question for even still as far as like doing like the Mayhem tour twice with Slipknot and Slayer twice, Motorhead, like, and everyone being like, oh, you like Christian or whatever. And it's like, you are like, on our end, we are persecuted as being bad Christians way more than from the metal side saying like, you know, fuck God.
Right.
Like, people always think that it's going to be like the bands on the tour, like friends in like Whitechapel, let's say, or like these very, I don't know, what would you call that? Like the dark subject matter, rape, murder, blood, violence. Like,
yeah.
And those are all like always our buddies, you know. It's always coming from the church where it's like, you know, beer, cursing, you know, looking at our liberal, progressive, Democrat.
Exactly.
Sort of those aspects. Like, I don't know.
Well, I don't know where
it's very convoluted. I don't think I answered your question.
It is. And like, I'm not, you know my stance. Like, I guess I'm an atheist. I don't know. I'm not, it doesn't play a role in my life, really. And I never understood why, first of all, why cussing was a big deal, really. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, well, certainly, yeah.
I gotta say, like, I don't think there's a Christian man out there that doesn't say those words when they're, like, not on stage.
True. I mean,
maybe there's some. But it's like, where do you want to draw the line between, like, what's a show that you're putting on to promote something, like, and what is just, this is who I am? Like, or drinking is the same thing. So there's guys that are basically alcoholics, but they're like, no, we can't have a beer on stage.
Yeah.
It's not Christian. Well, shouldn't it be more about just being honest and being real and then promoting whatever message it is?
Certainly. I mean,
I don't know.
I'm not promoting anything. Like, I'm promoting, like, I've had this tremendous blessing to be able to write. And that, like, that's my, I like to write. I never anticipated being a musician.
Yeah.
Being a front man, a singer. I can't sing, really. You know, like, I have a really tremendous platform to be able to talk about things that are immediate and for me to express myself. The same as if, you know, one were to paint or any means of creative expressionism, you know. And, you know, that's where I'm at, and that's what I do on the stage. I'm not selling a product. I'm not selling faith. I'm not – it's just
right.
I get to play guitar. Like, that's my favorite thing in the world. Like,
I know. That's the – like when I get to – and I mean, you're up there ripping like an electric – which is rad. I've never done that. No, I'll play like an acoustic thing. But man,
are you
going to
do that overseas?
Play acoustic?
Yeah.
Probably, because we have to play for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's nice to break it up a little bit with something like that. We haven't talked about what we're doing overseas, actually. But man, like, I haven't had the feeling since the band started of just like putting on an electric guitar and hearing that amp like ripping behind me. That's fun, man.
Dude, yeah, that's the dream. Like, that was... Some of it becomes so, like, diluted, too, when you get to this certain point. I feel like I'm such a dick on this tour, because we go up there and we're like, oh, we've been playing for 11 years, and this is our... We're going to make it... Like, we play this medley of our old songs, and we think we hate our old songs.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that, too. Go on, though.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah. And I'm, like, I'm up there being bitter and jaded, and I'm like, well, Silverstein, you guys are, 16 years in, right?
Yeah.
17, like... Gosh, I mean, and I'm the one complaining. It's entirely backwards, and I apologize for that. I need to apologize to all of your guys individually, I feel, for my crappy attitude.
No, I mean, I have it literally. I'm looking at my notes, and I'm just going to read my notes verbatim so people can tell how shitty they are. I wrote, playing old songs despite not wanting to. Are you at all embarrassed about the band in terms of the old days and the aesthetics? Even your band name... Sometimes you say we are TDWP rather than saying we are the Devil Wears Prada. I've heard you say that. There's my notes, and you can. That's not really a question, but go. You can run with that.
It's a very astute observation. I feel like the old material is embarrassing. I mean, lyrically, it's. Again, it was like these huge life or death matters when I was just, you know, an angsty teenager. I'm depressed. I'm lonely. You know, not very many friends. Don't like school. Good. Like, I wasn't like stupid. You know, I had good grades and everything. Like, but I just never. It just never clicked that way.
Yeah,
and I didn't realize I could love where I lived until I moved to Chicago. I always hated Ohio.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ohio fans. Like, you guys are great.
I called it the worst state once on this podcast.
Really?
And I got a lot of hate mail for that. Someone's like, what do you think the worst state is? I'm like, I don't know. Ohio?
Oh, man. I mean, like, it is, like, there's this place in Columbus we play that is just absolutely amazing, super cool. I think it's called Newport. It's
I know, like, Newport, yeah.
Yeah, like, man, those shows are so incredible. Bogarts Forever. I'm sure you guys are playing Bogarts. Like, but yeah, you know, that was me then. And that, it kind of going back to the whole, the Christian conversation, like, that's just the change that happens, you know? Like, I didn't, like, the guys that named the Devil Wears Prada aren't in the band anymore. Like, that was the three starting guys.
Right.
And we had to, like, inherit this horrible, stupid name, you know? And it is embarrassing, but at the same time, you know, the one thing I can't apologize for, and I never will, is that those things were always honest and sincere. It never was.
Of course.
It still was never, like, selling a product, you know? Like, doing, like, a stupid cover song at one point, like, having these bright t-shirts and whatnot. Like, that was just that was us. Like, that was what we wanted to do, you know? And, yeah, it was honest, which maybe I should be a little more embarrassed or abashed in looking at it and being like, yeah, I honestly did like bright blue, like, vibe, like that whole look, and looking at old promo photos. And it is a little embarrassing, but, you know, it came from the heart. And if I couldn't say that, then it would be further embarrassing by all means, I think.
Well, I think the difference is that you were just so young, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you're talking about, you started the band when you were 16 years old, you know. When we started the band, I was like 20. You know, we didn't record our first record until I was like 22. So there's a lot that changes within a person,
definitely,
you know, in terms of maturity in that age, which is maybe why with Silverstein we do still back our stuff.
Uh-huh.
Do we think it's the best stuff we ever did? No. Are there some embarrassing times, songs, lyrics? Of course.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I would never make a statement like that. Maybe first of all, because I don't really feel that way, and second of all, just, I don't know, I feel like it's the kind, it's, I don't want to say pretentious, but it's almost like you're, what about that kid that loves that shit?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And he's like, oh man, like, Mike doesn't even like it, and he's just playing it, and like, does it take away something, maybe, from the experience, like, or does it not even matter to you?
I mean, the experience is still a show. It's still adrenaline, you know? It's not like I just stand there like, you know, woe is me, this sucks.
But then, like, but then the same thing is like, well, if you just say, we don't like these songs, and then you rock the fuck out, then it's almost like, well, is he, like, faking it? Is he pretending that he...
And it's not pretending. I don't... That's another, like, I don't have... I'm not selling anything.
Right.
I don't have to pretend ever. That's the blessing I mentioned earlier. Like, that's the cool part. I mean, it's fun to play. I mean, I wish I played guitar. But I'd love it, probably. It's just hearing the recordings, man. Like, it is just, like, just detestable. Just, like, this atrocity of, like, God, yeah. Like, that's where it's really bad. Like, when we made this medley, John, our keyboard player, he just, like, he's like, oh, like, he wasn't with us way back then. So he just, like, oh, these are the popular songs, I guess. Put them together and sent them over, and I listened to it once. I'm like, oh, my vocals. Like, I didn't know how to record.
Sure.
Like, it's still, like, even newer material. Like, oh, your voice changed. Your voice was better back then. And I was like, I didn't. I was so uncomfortable. It was just, you know, from the throat rather than, you know, what's a show. So, yeah, I guess it's not like I'm standing up there being like, and it's not like judgment either, being like, you guys are dumb for liking material that I don't like.
Right.
I can understand how it's somewhat offensive to fans, but still, I'm still just being honest, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend I like that material. But if people are stoked to hear it, then, like, they paid. Like, give, like...
True.
I understand that, so...
You ever think about doing any re-records of that old material?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like...
Because it's been long enough now, like, contractually, you probably could...
Right, and also...
Rise Records, too.
You're exactly.
Back on those Rise.
Two, yeah, those two were our first with Rise, and then we were out for a while, and then we just did the EP, and our newest EP, and Transit Blues, our new record with Rise. So, like, it would be... legally very like I don't know. It'd just be super easy, legally, and all that, like, paper. Like, because I'd love to re-release stuff, like, from our time with Ferret, which was really just Warner, and then Roadrunner and whatnot. Like, when I think about, like, you know, if we did, like, a five-year tour for our one of our Roadrunner records, like, oh, so let's do a new vinyl colorway and all this, and then thinking about it, I mean, like, oh, that'd be such a nightmare. Like, the team isn't there anymore and all, and like just the major label kind of umbrella and all that. But yeah, a re-record would be a challenging but fun endeavor.
Yeah, it could be. Because you guys, I mean, your new stuff sounds amazing.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the new record for a second before we get into the old days. Yeah, tell the people about it. It just came out?
Yep. Yeah, I think it came out the 7th, and the first show this run was the 11th. And then you guys joined up like 14th, 15th, or somewhere in there. Yeah, it was 6 full lengths. We called it Transit Blues. I called it Transit Blues. My idea was kind of the degeneration, the degradation of what happens over time. And Transit being the more physical of... kind of example, as far as like going from one place to another, but it's just as much something that's mental and not so physical as far as going from what, like, aging and that kind of thing. I've had a hard time with anxiety and panic attacks over the last 3 or 4 years, and looking at those things, and obviously that's not something that's so physical. And I wanted to approach those topics, and it kind of all kind of felt like it felt under the umbrella of Transit Blues, being that aging, getting older, body breaking down. I mean, getting sore for no reason, not being able to be as physical.
Dude, you're not
as
even
like
30 yet.
Yeah, oh yeah,
it's already happening.
Yeah. It's definitely happening. Yeah. Yeah. It's very personal. There's also, you know, fictional work in there, narrative-based work, but I get a little bit of a synopsis of my life as of late, and I feel like in like doing these meet-and-greets we've been doing on this tour, Memphis Mayfire and Prada,
is that something you've done much in the past of?
No.
Okay.
Little bit here and there, but we're talking about being honest and whatnot, or like even this question, like, what's it about? And I feel like a lot of my work is just really sort of veered towards like my own disintegration, like getting older. And we did a record called Death Throne, which was our 4th full length, and it was a lot of anti-idolatry in my own life and other people looking at bands as being heroes, which I hate. And I think since then, rather than telling people what to do, I just put myself down so people can, like, I don't know. Maybe it's an exercise of humility. I don't know. This doesn't answer your question. I don't know.
No, it absolutely. I mean, I said talk about the new record. That's exactly what you're doing. I mean, that's answering the question. But yeah, you talk a little bit about anxiety. You talk about over the last 3-4 years, and over the last year, you guys have been very inactive.
Uh huh.
Obviously, member change with Daniel leaving the band. I don't even know what happened, and I don't need to speculate. But I will say this, for maybe the first time ever, I see you guys really happy and having a blast, like, you know, with like Kyle, you know, your new guitar player, and John, your keyboard player, and of course, you know, Jeremy and Andy, and like, everybody is just like, do you seem like more of a unit? You guys are like living it up, having like parties on your bus. My favorite is Ladies' Night, which I'm putting it out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
like,
people,
for sure, dude.
People think, oh, Ladies' Night. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's cliche, right? Oh, yeah. Band's going to have Ladies' Night on their bus. No. Not Ladies' Night. Late
80s
night.
There are no women around.
There are no women. Giuseppe's wife, and that's it. And your dog.
Yeah.
Those are the two women that joined us the other night for Ladies' Night. Late 80s night, which... is just a giant dance party with 30-year-old men
and
drinking
booze.
IPA.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man.
But like, I don't think that happens a couple years ago. And I
for
could
sure.
be wrong. Maybe it's you guys coming out of your shell, getting older, you know, just kind of like letting things go a little bit easier. But I don't know if you have what you can say about that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I love to read, and reading always puts me to sleep. You know, people always bitch, like, I don't like reading books. It makes me tired. Like, well, that's good. I like sleeping. So, excuse me. I was reading the other day, and I fall asleep a little bit, or I'm like kind of in and out. And I hear, it was like earlier in the tour, and Quinn comes on. Quinn, who's doing lights, and Quinn, like now one of a very close friend. He plays drums in my other band. He's like guitar tech for us. He's been assistant tour manager. He's done merch. He's guitar tech, but he doesn't play guitar. But like Quinn's the best. And I heard Quinn walking on the bus, and he goes, he's like, man, it just feels like better on here. And it was just like Ben in the front lounge, and Quinn, Ben, our tour manager. For yeah. those that don't know, Ben, our tour manager of nearly 9 years, in front yeah. of house engineer. Like, he's in the band just as much as the band members are. Like, he does everything with us. And like Quinn comes on and tells Ben, like, man, it's just like feels like better on here. It's weird, man. Like, it's weird getting to the point where you realize you don't have to like step on or what's it like. What's the phrase, like stepping on eggshells or something?
Sure.
Yeah.
Like walking on eggshells.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And I don't want to get into the band separation and what happened with Daniel and whatnot either. But yeah, man, it's just like it's a better vibe. I remember early on, Jeremy and I really butted heads. Jeremy and I were like, I think it was a little bit of competition, but.
Right, like the singer frontman
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, and I don't know why, because I've never been heavy-handed in anything, like vocally.
Yeah,
not so much. Like, the guys trust me to write and do all like 100% of the lyrics and everything, you know. But him and I always butted heads, and I remember, like, it was actually in California. We had like an off day in LA, and Robert, our former tour manager, he rented a car, and we were just gonna go shopping. And I remember we're like, oh, cool, and Jeremy was still asleep, and I remember being like, oh, let's go before Jeremy wakes up, because I don't want to deal with him today. Like, I
wow.
Just like that vibe. I don't know if it's just like us being totally childish, but I definitely see it in other bands too. But that just doesn't happen anymore, man. And I think it also kind of comes with drinking. Like, you know, I was straight edge back in the day with mm-hmm. you know, early on. I mean, I didn't drink till I was just before I turned 23. And I think that's changed a lot of it. Being a awkward, anxious person, and not to be so repetitive, but I mean, it really does take the edge off of social circumstances.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, gosh, I can't imagine dating without drinking as I was back then, you know? Or ever, like, I've been with my girlfriend now for coming up on 2 years. And gosh, if I hadn't been drinking when I met her and like our first dates and whatnot, like, it's just a train wreck of like anxiety, you know. So I to get back to what, yeah. what you're like, I think drinking also kind of helped. And you know, it was early on.
All you young kids, listen to this. Start drinking.
Yeah, dude. Drink. Do not drink at a young age, because I've had to hear all the horrible stories from people like Kyle, our guitar player, who was a total fucking maniac, you know, as a kid, and just he looks back and he's like, nope, I was the worst. I you know. Like, he's, yeah. like, trying to, I don't know, like, make up for his sins or something, you know, as far as, like, being a shitty kid drinking. So I definitely don't want to promote drinking in those regards. But, you know, like, early Warped Tours and whatnot, and, like, Jeremy and Andy and, like, everyone out there, like, just raging, and I just sit in my bunk being, like, just steaming, you know. And that's right. a horrible vibe.
Right.
And now we're at the point, and, like, with Giuseppe, who plays drums with us now, and, like, John, who I think the world of, Kyle, who, like, I keep telling people, like, Kyle coming in the band, and, like, when Kyle and I started working together on my other band, it was like, have you seen the movie Step Brothers?
Of course.
Yeah, like, and they realize they're best friends, like, they yep. the parallels and
whatnot.
Can
we just become best friends? Yup.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that was kind of Kyle and I, like, he, like, talking about guitar, and I'm kind of talking about guitar. We're at this amazing bar right around the corner from me in Chicago, and I, like, kind of tell him, I'm like, yeah, he mentioned something. I'm like, I'm a gear snob. Like, before we really get anything, it's like, oh, me too. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, are you? Because I will beat you in gear snobbery. But, it, yeah, that, like, that was, like, Kyle and I hitting off. And then Kyle and I, we started this band. And then he realized he had offers to tech and certain bands. And he turned them down. He's like, I want to play. I don't want to be the guitar tech. And then he got so sick of working, like, these dead-end jobs back in Chicago and whatnot, he started working for us, guitar teching for us. And then yeah. he when Chris decided to leave the band and stay home with his wife and new baby,
yep.
Kyle just turned, was our guitar player. So Kyle's just been, like, this virus further infecting my life and all of my work and endeavors.
Just seeping into everything.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I think the world of him. I do too.
He's a great guy. Yeah, I didn't really know him at all before this tour. And
he actually lived in Toronto for a while.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had no idea. We hadn't talked about that. but no, I'm really enjoying hanging out with all, like, you know, the new members of Prada. And it does feel like, you know, you, Andy, Jeremy being the original guys have kind of come into your own as well. So it's really is a beautiful thing. I want to talk about the two lead singer thing with you and Jeremy for a second, as this is the Lead Singer Syndrome podcast. You know, you say you do a majority of the writing or all the writing of the lyrics. Has it always been that way?
Yep.
And so when you guys are writing songs, how do you determine, like, what he's going to sing, what you're going to scream, like, where those parts are?
I mean, like, sonically, it sometimes becomes pretty obvious, especially in that we love slow stuff. We love slowing down. We love these quiet moments. And I think that's pretty obvious in looking at, like, the Space EP and Transit Blues. Another part of what I really hated about our old material was that it was so forced. So forced to hear Jeremy, like, oh, here comes the chorus. Ta-da, Jeremy sings. You know? And that dichotomy is just so overridden and just, like, it's just so predictable. So a big part of, like, with Transit Blues was Jeremy and I working together and all of us collectively. John plays a big part in me writing. Like, I take things to John and we demo it out together and we'll be like, how about this instead? Like, he's like a pre-producer,
right,
before we go into the studio. So John and Jeremy work together a lot as far as melodies, which I have no gift for singing melodies or singing, really. It's just trying to fit it in as an additional element anymore. And, like, that's been a fun and rewarding challenge for us, is to go about that and not feel so forced. Because early on, like, you know, as far as us writing together and whatnot, it's been very – it was – again, it either felt – it just felt so predictable. So now, as far as the way we go about songwriting, it needs to be fluid and you know, there's never really an ego. I'll give all the praise in the world to Jeremy about that. As far as, like, it's never like, oh, I want to sing here.
Right.
They just don't go about it that way. Like, vocals have never been, like, I've never wanted to be, like, the front man of the band, you know, like, anymore. Like, I feel like these bands are always, like, it's like boy bands anymore, man. Like, it's like a character on fucking Instagram. Like, I'm just another member of the band. It doesn't matter if I'm the vocalist or whatever.
Right.
And that's the way we've gone about it. And again, like, early on, Jeremy and I kind of butt heads a bit, but anymore, you know, it just feels like where it's natural. And a lot of it too is I've become much more yelly with what I do. And with certain yelly parts, like, we'll really bury Jeremy down and do lower stuff, because that's also what we want to listen to, you know. Like, early on, like looking at choruses and, you know, just loving like a good, like, Seosin chorus, let's say, or
sure,
like your guys' shit, of course, like, and it was like so high, and anymore it just feels like it feels like disturbing or like penetrating to the listening experience of the song. So yeah, we try to go about it creatively and using all the range that we can between me not being able to sing, but me trying to do more yelly stuff, spoken word-ish kind of stuff. And then Jeremy being a good singer and being able to go in the studio and
absolutely
do what I can do.
That's awesome. No, it's yeah, I was wondering about that. Well, we're already, like, probably halfway, more than halfway, so it's kind of weird to go back to the beginning and to the roots of Mike. How do you even say your last name?
Heranica.
Okay.
Yeah.
There it is. Right from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've had all different incarnations of
Rancia.
How to say
Rancia,
it.
Yeah.
Or how to spell it.
Yeah.
You know, I had Adam Lazara on the podcast once, and he's like, every, like, trophy in my family has, like, a different version of the spelling.
No. Gosh.
So I imagine that's the same for you. but yeah, like, talk a little bit about kind of how you got into this. I mean, you say you're not really a singer. You say you feel like a bit like a fraud. Well, I'm putting words in your mouth. You feel a bit like a fraud when you put musician on your occupation form. So how did you end up here? You know, how did you come from a kid, whatever? You know, I assume you had parents and brothers and sisters. How did you transition from that, a kid in Ohio, to now singer of this band so many years later.
Yeah, I think like anyone getting into heavier music, it was just like the heavier stuff I heard on the radio, and then like hearing Slipknot when I'm 13 or 14 or something, you know, and like it just, it went that to the next band, to the next band, to like Thrice and Thursday and whatnot, and then I just started going to every show I could, and it was weird because I never went to any like big shows. Like I never saw like very many signed bands. I just saw all the local bands I loved, and I had like such a like kind of respect and reverence for those guys. It's like, oh, that's amazing. Like I love doing it. I started a joke band with Chris because Chris, our former guitar player, really goofy dude. We started this joke like tough guy mosh band, and I did.
What
vocals
was it called?
It was called X Gumby X.
X Gumby X. Perfect.
Please. To those listening to this, do not look into X Gumby X.
The recordings exist?
Yeah, somewhere, I think.
Wow. If I find it.
Oh, it's terrible.
If I find it, I'm playing it at the end of the show.
it's like all joke lyrics. Like, the lyrics were like, I hate Circa Survive was one of the lyrics because they were like, like it sounded pretty and whatnot. And now, like, even knowing Anthony, I've never told Anthony this, but. I know he'd love it. I think he would love it. Like, I don't know Anthony well, but I think he'd love it. So I was doing that, and then it was like a kind of, like, using the quotes here, the super group of Dayton, as far as because each of the three guys in the band were already in other bands, and then they came together to do, like, this synthy metalcore band. And their singer didn't have a car, so could never get to practice. It's like, oh, we need a new singer. And I just went to their practices because I thought the songs were cool and I liked hanging out with the guys. So they had this dude come. I forget his name. I know the original singer was named Syrup, for those curious. And this dude came and he's like, I don't know the songs. And they, like, we're, again, you know, 16, 18-year-olds, they're like, dude, just scream. Like, you know, it's like a keyboard amp or whatever, like a mic with an XLR at a quarter inch, and just make a sound. You don't have to make words. Just, and he just wouldn't do it. So I was like, oh, I know the song they're playing because they had a demo on MySpace. And I just did it, and everyone was like, whoa, Mike, you just sing. And I remember we went out to the cul-de-sac. This was James, our original keyboard player.
Yeah, I know James.
His parents' house. And took me out to the cul-de-sac, like, why don't you sing? And I'm like, I don't know. So I just did, and then that was it. There's nothing past that. And I was just like, all I wanted to do, like, I never, like, management, record labels, tour managers, front of house, like, all that's, like, all I wanted to do was go to the shows I was already going to because I loved all these local bands.
Yeah.
I'm like, it'd be sweet if I didn't have to pay.
Is this, like, in Dayton at the Attic?
Yep.
That's the venue? It's funny because I had Caleb from Beartooth. And he was talking about that, and like, that's such a hotbed, man. Like, you think about all the bands that have come.
Did you guys play with Dead Poetic back in the day? And like,
we did, yeah.
Yeah,
I loved that band,
dude.
Like, New Medicines is like,
dude,
what a record,
so good. Yeah, it was that, and like Hawthorne Heights, of course.
Yeah, Attack. I mean, I guess like, didn't Austin Carlisle? He's from there too.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah. I guess.
Because he was in that band. Like,
right.
All these people. Like, I think Telly from Word of Lives from there, too. Like,
yeah, he played in a local band. I never knew them, but it was kind of like playing the same rooms and
it's
whatnot.
Just so wild. Like, all these people came from this scene. And you almost have to attribute it to, like, what you're talking about. People going to shows, local shows, and just it being a scene.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's easy to pick on Ohio. And I do frequently. Born in Pittsburgh, so, and being a sports nut, I rail into...
Of course.
I rail into Jeremy all day, who's a Bengals and Ohio State fan and all this. But it's easy to pick on it, man. But, like, I grew up, like, riding BMX and, you know, riding with dudes that skated. And you do that. You play sports, which I played hockey as a kid.
Yeah.
Or you play music. It's like super cut and dry. Like, that's just what we did. Like, everyone wanted, like, I got a guitar a year before I joined Prada. The Christmas before, my parents got me a guitar, and, you know, it's like the little combo, like the pack for $200 or whatever, because I really wanted to play guitar. And like everyone else, like, just wanting to riff. And I not to speak for all these dudes that are from like Miss May I, like I remember meeting
right,
Levi.
That's another band,
was,
sure.
Like, I was selling t-shirts. I had a little t-shirt company, and I was 17. I remember he would drive from Troy, Ohio to Tip City, Ohio. He lived in Troy and I lived in Tip. And I played hockey in Troy because it was a bigger town. I remember him coming to my house to like buy t-shirts and whatnot. Like, it's just, it, I don't
it's
know.
It's crazy,
I don't,
man. It's wild. Just,
that's Ohio, I guess.
It's a wild
know.
World. And then like, we're all like, yep, we'll see y'all on Warped Tour this summer. You know, yep, like it's yeah, always like, it's
straight
just,
up.
How does this all happen? You know,
it's
like the world is so, like, so small,
uh-huh.
You know, it, like you can't, it's such a cliche, but then it's just so true.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing.
Right.
You know?
And the coincidences like that, like I'm excited for Europe too. Like, oh, this band is playing like down the road, like
right, of
yeah.
course,
good shit, man.
One thing that I heard, one thing Craig from Rise told me once. He told me, and I don't know if this is true or if you know this. He told me once that the only reason he signed you guys was because Drop Dead Gorgeous, who was like the biggest band on Rise, asked him to.
Drop Dead asked Craig to sign us?
That's what Craig told me.
Were
you friends with them?
No. They were definitely blowing up, though, and it was also, you know, like, keys and synths, so it was, like, kind of the same scene.
Maybe I'm mixing something up, but that's what Craig told me at some point, that he only signed you guys for that reason. Which is hilarious because then you ended up being by far the biggest band that was ever on Rise Records, you know, and like it was crazy. I remember having lunch with Craig one time, right outside the Hawthorne Theater. You know, there's like that little Mexican spot.
Certainly.
We were having
yep,
a meeting because yep. Craig always wanted to sign Silverstein. Like since like we first put out our record on
That's
Victory,
very Craig.
He's
I
always been
that.
Not like kind of
oh,
knocking
yeah.
on the door. You know, so we've always been friends, and I remember him being like, "Hey, Devil Wears Prada, you know they're doing really well." I'm like, "Yeah, they're doing really well," and he flashed me like a check that he was going to give you guys, like a royalty check, and I was like, "Oh shit, he pays his bands," and like that's like
very.
I'm not
going to
say how
guys.
Much money it is. I was like, "Damn, yeah," and I was like, "Wow, that's amazing." And then he said, and then he told me that story about like, yeah, like I just signed him because I someone like
it's also
asked
so Craig
to
like flash a check. I love Craig. I don't mean to like.
I love like, Craig too. He's one of my favorite music industry people ever.
And
I've known him for well over a decade, despite us only putting out one record on Rise. But I just wanted to bring that up, that anecdote, and if that was a thing you knew about, if it's even true. I could be completely mixing it up, but
no, I mean, like there was Drop Dead, I think Dance Gavin was about then. Dance Gavin,
they
Dan.
Were just about the same time
yeah.
as you guys, and Before Their Eyes maybe, and
oh shit,
Amorosa
that,
EP
yeah.
was out about that time.
Yeah, Amorosa, their former band, that was band name. That was our second tour ever, like our self booked tour. Like, yeah, I mean, it was we
That's
were
another Ohio band.
Yeah, well,
what kind of? Well, Chris, for, you know, Lake Moss was Ohio guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, we were in the process of putting together a press pack to try to get signed, and while we were doing that, like waiting for like photos to like do our first promos
yeah.
and everything, and Chris was just like bored and emailed. And this is how I remember. Chris might say something different. Chris Ruby. He was like bored and just emailed Rise like, "Hey, check out our band," and like Craig came back like, "I'll sign you."
Really?
Yeah. So we never put together a press pack or. It was,
I swear,
was, like,
I swear, Craig told me that, but it might, maybe it's not true, or maybe I'm mixing it up.
No,
but.
I mean, like, and Craig was very likely to recall better than me. I don't have
sure.
the most accurate memory by any stretch, but it was pretty simple, pretty plain.
Sweet.
Yeah,
and here we are, and you guys have been on a bit of a ride since, but back on Rise, which is cool, which is very cool.
Yeah, man. Gosh.
So I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you've been having some vocal issues. I've been having my voice has been fine, but I've been sick. You probably people can hear it in my sinuses are like all clogged. How's that work for you? Generally on tour, you hold up pretty well, or are you kind of a guy that has problems with your voice?
I don't hold up very well. I know guys that are such troopers over me by any means, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's so fickle, and it becomes I feel that it's so much in your head. It's so much placebo. I kind of got that from, like, I listened to you and Paul Mark talking on the podcast, and yeah, you guys getting into it, and for me being really able to identify, like, and like a lot of the time I always go back to our good buddy Jeremy McKinnon, who, yeah, gosh, how many songs does he sing, scream a night? And like, dude doesn't warm up, doesn't really do, like, he chews gum when he plays. Like that, and like it keeps like the saliva going, I guess. I don't know. I think I tried it one song. I was like, no way.
I tried it before too, and I was just choking on the gum.
Yeah, exactly,
I didn't have the like the technique yet.
Right. And he, like, he's always been like, it's in your head. It's in, and like Kevin Scaff saying, he's kind of told me the same. And this was years ago, and you know, when it was Pierce the Veil, A Day to Remember, The Devil Wears Prada, Silverstein tour.
Yeah.
In early 2008.
Yeah,
2008. Yeah, I think early 2008. Like,
she's what a lineup. Can we put that one together again? The headliner Bobby might Shapiro need to change, but
well, I mean, gosh, you don't have to tell me. But yeah, I don't know. I don't do anything too special. I've kind of come down as far as my vocal warm ups are a little more minimalized. I think that it's more just trying to be mindful during the set to not over push, to try to be conscious of, like, we play in-ears. Everyone uses in-ear monitors now, I feel like.
It's very common.
Yeah.
I'd say it's way more common than not using them,
right,
that's for sure.
Do you like them?
I do.
Uh-huh.
I feel like still the best is, like, if you have a perfect wedge mix.
Yeah.
It's still better than in-ears.
Absolutely.
But getting a perfect wedge mix is almost impossible. And then, of course, you have to stand in the same spot, right? Because if you move, then you're not in the same zone as the speaker. So, but I just have so many problems with in-ears, like, breaking, cables going, like, water gets in them, and then they don't sound right. Like, those kind of issues.
Well, your ears,
you,
like,
know, are annoying, but
like, your ears expand. Like, your ears grow your entire life, you know? Like,
yeah.
Physically. So, yeah, I'm on, like, I can't, like, well, I remember when you guys brought us out and see it, like, that was the first time I'd seen in-ears and all this, and be like, whoa. And then getting them, and I've pretty much hated them ever since.
Yeah.
I, like, we play to a click, and I love that. Like, click keeps me on, and especially also playing, like cueing our video production on a tour like this. You have to kind of do that.
Of course.
As well as counting in songs that, you know, the drummer doesn't pop, 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 pop.
You don't have to hear that. Yeah,
exactly. Like, that's the only reason I have in-ears. Is for the click.
Yeah.
I hate them otherwise. So it's kind of that as well. I'm also, I blast my crowd mix. So I'm trying to get as much of the PA.
Right.
And we run vocals through the wedges as well. So I try to get a little more body on stage.
We don't have crowd mics.
No?
No. We don't have them.
I would hate it. I'd hate it even more.
It's a little.
I also use ambient ears too. I don't know if you've ever tried those.
I haven't. No, I haven't tried them. I know about them, yeah.
You're just a pro, and I'm just like a little baby being like, I hate this, I hate that. Like,
yeah, I find, like, you just get used to it. I mean, I remember the first show we ever played with in-ears was, like, the worst. Like, the feeling of it, the disconnect, like, people are saying stuff in the crowd. Like, I always take an ear out when I'm talking to the crowd, just so I can hear if somebody yells something.
I took out my ear once, and it just filled with sweat, couldn't hear out of the ear. I've never
taken
it. Oh,
really?
Oh,
maybe that's why men are breaking all the time.
I don't know.
That makes sense, no. you know,
I also take them out, like, at the last song on the tour, or the last song of the show. I always take them out so I could actually, like, oh, the crowd is alive, because I'm hearing, like, this dull reproduction, it almost feels like. I don't know.
It is funny, though, how much it changes your perception of the crowd and the energy, you know?
Certainly.
Also, having these fucking things in your ears, too, like, headbanging is weird, you know?
Yeah.
But the click track thing you bring up is funny. The first time we ever played to a click track, we were playing with you guys.
What show?
We played the first tour we ever played to a click, which is funny for, like, band guys listening, because they're like, what? Silverstein didn't play to a click? We didn't play to a click for the first 10 years we were a band.
Wow.
Really? Yeah, we didn't play to a click.
We never recorded to a click for the first, like, two records. And that's also why the songs are so shitty.
We always recorded to a click. But, you know, we used the first couple records. We had a lot of tempo changes, which, looking back, we probably didn't have to.
Yeah.
But we just were like, no, we want this part to be extra heavy, so we got to slow it down, which whatever. But no, I remember the first time we did it, we finally like rigged up the click and whatever, and you know, I don't, it wasn't even programmed. It was just like a Tama rhythm watch, like,
yeah, yeah,
you know, shitty plastic box. But we were playing with you guys on that tour we did across Canada, like 2010.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I remember we played. It was like the first show, so it's like super awkward, and all the songs felt slow.
Oh, yeah, that, you know? That's another thing.
Super slow, and I remember us playing and walking out, and I think it was you that told me, you're like, no, it was good. It was like way better. You guys were like way tighter, I think, but Smile in Your Sleep was way too slow.
I didn't say that.
I think it was you. If it wasn't you, maybe it was... Maybe it was Dan. It was. I think it was you.
I don't feel like I've ever had to critique your guys' shit.
I don't know. I think we were just talking about it, though. Like, you weren't critiquing it.
I was probably
it.
Bitching about in-ears, per usual.
I don't know. I can remember it.
Yeah.
I can remember it, yeah. But, yeah, but it's just funny how, yeah, we went 10 years without ever playing to a click, and now I can't even imagine not playing to a click.
That's why I like the only saving grace of in-ears for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
So, but back to your question as far as, yeah, that, like maintaining my voice and whatnot, it's a lot comes down to the in-ears. As sad as that is, I guess.
You mean it helps?
Yeah.
Hear yourself a lot better.
Yeah, but at the same time, when I take my ears out at the end of a show so I can, like, get that experience, I'm always like, I feel like I can hear myself better now, like hearing the PA, you know, reverberate through the room and whatnot.
Well, have you ever thought about using ears just on certain songs?
No, because the sweat. I'm yeah. super sweaty. I'm a pig. Like, I sweat a lot. I'm sweating like crazy right now for listeners to... Probably stinking up your
You look
bus.
Pretty good to me.
Thanks, man. You're lying.
All right, before we go, we got a big thing coming up very soon in America called the election. You've been very vocal. You've been very vocal on stage. You say fuck Trump every show, and I appreciate that you say fuck Trump in Philadelphia and New York and Massachusetts, but you also say fuck Trump in a Christian venue in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those are the people that need to hear it most.
Well,
right?
that's you're probably right.
Yeah, yeah. We played, like, before you guys jumped on the tour, we played Denver, and then we had a day off in Kansas City, and then Chicago.
Yeah.
I've lived in Chicago coming up on eight years or something, and I just flew home from Denver and didn't hang out in Kansas City. The other guys went and saw Cigaros, which I'm jealous of, but I just went home
wow.
and ran some errands. I live by myself, so... like maintaining my home, and I have a little lamp for my plants, so I try to keep my plants from dying. I set all that stuff up, see yep. my lady, and I in early voting, so I'm like, I'm so jazzed that I've already participated.
Good, because
I didn't vote for President Obama the first election, and I'm like ashamed. The second in 2012 was the first time I'd voted, so now I understand the importance, and I definitely urge people, regardless of your party or your views, you know, to have your part. But regarding old Donnie J, I just, man, like, come, like, let's, nothing else ever had to happen. Like, we could sit here talking for hours about it, but let's just go back to Mexicans are rapists and murderers. Like that alone is enough. Like, for, like, gosh, man, like, and even getting back to, like, talking about, like, my faith and my Christianity, like, who, like, where would Jesus be sitting at this point as far as, like, accepting people, about helping people, like, as far as taxes and whatnot? Like, I pay my taxes and it sucks. I'm, like, super broke right now, like, more broke than I've been since I joined the band, and before that because I just worked at Dairy Queen, but, like... Like, we need to give our money to help people. Like, it's so blatantly obvious to someone that has traveled, as we have as well, where you go to these beautiful places throughout Scandinavia, even like Canada, for like, and the same way with like gun violence and whatnot is also a very hot topic of ours, an appearance in the new album. We have a song called Lock and Load, so that also shifts my political views, but no one's coming to take guns. people need to be treated equally regardless of their gender or their sexual identity.
Yep.
And why the hell should I have to say this in 2016? Like it's because the last time I checked, he's setting everything back.
Well, because the last time I checked, he's in the lead. I was watching TV yesterday, and he had a 1-point lead. What?
Well,
how does this happen?
Polling is like.
Well, I know, but like maybe people need to fucking understand that this is not fake. This is real life. Like, I'm not okay. I'm Canadian, right?
Uh huh.
So I look at this all, and I don't have a say. It affects me. Don't get me wrong. Oh, it affects me. It affects the whole world.
It affects the whole world. Yes.
But I look at it when it was first happening, and I just give a little chuckle, like, oh yeah, this little silly like thing that's going to be
Ego,
a little TV thing and whatever. He'll drop out. Not only did he not drop out, not only did he win the primary, now we're sitting, today is the 2nd of November. The election is in, what, 6 days?
Yes.
And he might have a 1-point lead.
The look of sheer terror in your eyes is inexplicable to listeners.
This podcast, I'm going to put this one out on Monday, which is just a few days before the election, and I haven't said a lot. And part of it is because I feel like people are always like, you're Canadian, shut the fuck up. Okay, you can say it to me, but it does affect the whole world. And really, if someone's listening to this, please, please go out and vote.
Certainly, absolutely.
And unless you're a Trump supporter, then definitely don't vote. I hope you get a flat tire that day.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be shy about my opinion and what I think. And I think people should vote for Clinton. I don't like we had Fat Mike on here a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and he talked a lot about how people were saying, "Oh, she's the lesser of two evils." And Fat Mike was like, no. She's actually very qualified to be president of the United States.
Everyone acknowledges that. Everyone knows that. Republicans acknowledge that. Why are people
need to just stop fucking around?
I
you know what I mean? Because it comes a point where this is actually could happen. This is real life, you know? And if you're in a state, like a state that matters, you know, which I think if you're in one of those states, you know who you are,
yeah.
It's really important.
Yeah,
that you
folks
vote.
Still back in Ohio, especially.
Yeah, Ohio especially.
I'm
sorry if I said anything mean about your state.
Well, it's not my state. We're to those Ohioans.
So you voted in Illinois then?
Yeah. The little
which
the
is
little,
too bad.
The little spot of blue and a lot of red, which is completely fine, but and you know, close to Indiana where the lovely Mike Pence is from, who wants to tell women what to do with their bodies and how people should make love. Bad vibes in those regards as well. But, I think it's pretty transparent.
Yeah, and I just, again, since this episode is so close to Election Day, I feel like you being a political guy saying fuck Trump every day on stage, it's pretty important to talk about.
Definitely. I was so naive and not voting early on, and just the weight of it's such a point of pride. Like, make America great again. America's already great. Like, I'm in that. Like, obviously, we have so much work to do, especially in my opinion regarding gun violence. I saw something on Pitchfork earlier today that actually, like, someone making T-shirts that say "Make Chicago Great Again," and it made me so mad. Like, yeah, we have a serious murder epidemic, but it's still great. America's is great. But at the same time, we need to learn and from countries that are also great, because we're not the only great country. To put words in a Trump supporter's mouth, but that might be where what they feel, you know?
I think the way it's going with Trump and the things he wants to do are going to make America much less great.
You're entirely
right. And it's probably going to be whatever the word is under great or the one below that. You know what I mean? Like, if right now America's like an A minus, B plus, what do you want to say?
If you want to go with that grade, definitely down.
Let's
B
go up
there.
To an A, maybe even an A plus. All right, America, let's go. But I'm thinking with Trump, we could be getting down to a C.
C minus.
You're being very,
just based on
you're being
one
very gentle.
Just based on one guy, though, it could go that down that far.
Yeah,
I don't know how the structure of America works. I don't know how much one single leader can do, but he will do it, man.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Equal rights, common sense, gun laws. Start there. I'd love to look at food. I think food is a serious issue that is constantly overlooked, especially because
What do you mean exactly?
In environmental regards,
yeah.
Not to be like super hippy dippy food documentary guy, pro vegan, because I'm not vegan. Are you? You're veg?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For the most part,
we have two pescatarians. I'm vegetarian, and you know your guys' bus. A number of vegan dudes.
Yeah,
and veg.
We have two vegans. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we need to we have this medicinal issue. Like this over-medicating problem in the entire health world, which, you know, we need to figure out. But at the same time, like, look at how poorly we eat. Like, just starting there.
Yeah.
And environmentally, I mean, like, there's no excuse. Like, the what is happening in raising animals and killing and eating them environmentally, it's proven, you know. I'm guilty just as much as everyone because I eat cheese and eggs. But I'm going to make a lot of people mad with this, aren't I?
I don't know. I don't know, man. Like, this.
Do you often make people mad? Like, I'm familiar. Like, I listen to you talk with Keith Buckley when you and Paul Mark talked. Like,
no, man. People are pretty chill. Like, I think the beauty of a long form podcast like this is that, like, things aren't really taken out of context too much because. We can have this conversation about what we just said rather than me cutting it and then people are like, did you hear what he fucking said?
Just like one word answer.
If you eat egg and cheese, then you're an asshole. Like, did you hear him say that? You know what I mean?
He called
himself an asshole. No. No, I think it's fair to have that opinion. I think people aren't stupid either. Like, people know, everyone in America knows McDonald's is not healthy.
Yeah.
Everyone in America knows McDonald's has less than favorable treatment of their animals and their products, and everyone knows it's a little sketchy. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right. I can't imagine meeting people that are like, no, this is good for me.
Yeah.
I hope not.
I don't
Gosh,
think
I hope
so.
Not.
I don't think people think of that, you know? I'm sure there's people that think like a chicken salad is going to be the healthiest thing you could ever eat, and, well, I hate to break it to you, but they do some fucked up things to chickens.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but again, like, if there's this huge, huge mountain we have to climb as a, you know, as a society. I'm not just talking about America, but and you have to take it a step at a time. And going back to Trump, this is a big step we need to take, I feel.
Certainly.
Because, believe me, the last thing people are going to be worried about if Trump gets elected is, like, the fucking food pyramid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's somewhat more prehistoric concerns, nearly.
Yeah.
Not to over-exaggerate and not to, like, the whole fear-mongering bullshit is, it's coming from both sides. Me being on the left, I understand the whole fear, you know, peddling and how awful that really is.
Right.
But it's also realistic with someone that says he knows more about fighting ISIS than 4-star generals. I mean, like,
come on.
Yeah,
because they're a part of the system, man.
Yeah, nothing. Like, we talked about this at dinner last night with management.
So insane. Yeah, okay.
And going in, like, you know, like, just Prada just transitioning to new management and being like, you know what? I want to work with a guy that doesn't manage bands. Like, rather than a manager, someone that has experience in that. Like, it's a somewhat applicable, you know, comparison, I think. Like,
right.
Like, it just, I don't want to use the word rape, but just stealing all of, like, the experience from a position. Like, what on, this isn't like me singing for a band, you know, and having no experience singing, but then somehow making it 11 years being able to write and yell at people. This is running the leader of the free world.
Yes.
As as questionable as that title is, it
I don't know, man. I mean, I think it's a pretty appropriate title, and I'm not even American. So, who's the most famous person in the world right now? I mean, I hope it's not Donald Trump, but
oh Lord,
it's got to be Obama.
I love Barry O.
Maybe this is a stupid conversation to have. Maybe I'll cut that out. But who is the most famous person in the world?
I'd expect President Obama.
You would hope so. So then by some standard of that, then what you said is important. I should put myself in this category. What you guys are going to vote for next week, this week?
I did.
Good.
I'm pumped.
Good. Well, if anyone can vote early, do it. Vote no early. Lines, vote man. Often. and thanks for listening to me and Mike rant about politics in a very.
All sorts of things.
Yes, and all sorts of things, but especially the last little bit where we had to have a little chat about
rather
America.
Cathartic. It always is, too. You can bring it up and just feel like a weight off your chest, like, not everyone is this stupid, right? Dude, well, recently, not to keep rambling and make your podcast forever, but Jeremy said something on Instagram. He commented on I posted a picture of my I voted bracelet.
Yes.
It was in Chicago, and he made some sarcastic remark about Trump, and someone got really mad, and I had to block and delete their comment because they said that people are voting for Clinton because they're scared to be called racist. Can you, like, is there any part of you that can fathom that?
No, that's I'm having a lot of trouble wrapping my head around that.
Like as like privileged white males, the reason that we want equal rights for everyone, gender, race, sexual, like the reason we're doing that is because we're scared to be called racist. That's what was told to Jeremy and I on the internet.
It's crazy.
I love this look.
It's like it's next fantastic. Level. It's, I can't understand. Crazy.
You know, we can only sit here and shrug our shoulders so much.
Yeah, right. Exactly, man. Exactly. Well, hey, Mike, thanks again. We didn't even talk about your book. Real quick, talk about your book.
I've written three books.
You've written three books?
Yeah.
There's a new one, though.
Right, yeah. My newest one's called Three Dots in the Goat Machine. It's just a bunch of random poetry, prose, kind of Bukowski-inspired, exaggerated form.
Would you vote for Bukowski for president?
Ooh. again.
Hell no.
Yeah, hell no. Like, you know, the experience thing is important to me.
Right.
I'll say that. Certainly, yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No worries, man.
Well, okay, you got three books out. There's a new one. Where can people find the books?
MikeRanica.com.
Perfect.
Yep. So, yep, I try to do that, working on more now. I'm not selling anything. I like reading people. Like, kind of started with, like, you. I'm not only for your show tomorrow, Chain Reaction, which is going to be fucking incredible.
Yeah,
but
stoked.
Also American Nightmare in Toronto coming up.
Yeah.
But, like, Wes Isold, when he started doing stuff, I was kind of like, oh. Because I've always just written. Like, I was just writing poetry, and then when I joined the band, I'm like, oh, I can put this poetry over some music. So it was kind of disciplining myself, getting back to that and my writing, challenging myself, exercising it, just like anything else, like practice, you know. And Three Dots in the Goat Machine is really just half of what I had accumulated, as well as two novels, one I haven't finished and one that I just have kind of sitting there. But yeah, it's they're grammar mishaps. It's not any good. I apologize for your IQ. I talked to Paul Mark a little bit about this. He's like, I'm like, dude, go grab one, please, if you want. Same, whoever wants one in your camp or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'll apologize. It's bad. I like it.
It's,
I'm proud of. Dude, I'm proud of myself.
It's art, and it's yours, and that's it. That's all that matters.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, hey, Mike, thanks.
Dude. So honored.
So there it is, my talk with Mike. Love the guy. Just always so great hanging out with him. And seriously, if you are American, please, 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 please go vote. Oh, and I wasn't serious about telling young people they should drink.
Definitely wait until you're 21, and then, of course, always drink responsibly. And as always, I will leave you with the track. This is a song from the new Prada record, which is out now. Check it out. This song is called To the Key of Evergreen. Here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. We'll see you next week. "Hey, are you still there? I found X Gumby X. I'm going to play it right now. Shh, don't tell Mike."
Run in the cat out the window.
Run in the cat out the window.